Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Welcome, everyone. I'm not sure if you're having any difficulty hearing me. Please let me know by dialing 1 on your dial pad. Of course, if you're listening in through the internet, you won't be able to do that. You would have to call into the studio in order to let me know that you cannot hear me. I'm just going to repeat the number once for those who may want to call into the studio. It is area code 646-721-9678. Again, that's 646-721-9678. Well, thank you all for joining me on tonight. I'm so glad that you are here. And this show tonight is not going to be long. I believe that it is something that I need to share with you all. And I believe this is what the Lord would have for us on tonight. I don't believe that it's going to be a long show. I may at some point during this, because it's not going to be long, open up the floor for those who are live in the studio in case they have something they want to contribute to what's going to be said on tonight. So we won't further delay. We'll get started. What drove me to tonight and tonight's show, there was an old saying that we used to say, and people still say it, but I think in this day and time we're finding that I don't know if this saying is really holds a lot of weight anymore. But the saying was, blood is thicker than mud. blood is thicker than mud. And we used to say that, and basically translated what that means is family. You know, this is my blood. Blood is always first and foremost. You know, blood supersedes friendship. You know, blood supersedes. You know, if you my blood, you're supposed to have my back. That's what we do. We, you know, you hear people say family is everything. And so, I thought about that, and I don't have any grief with my family. I love my family. Me and my family are very close. But that was sticking on my mind, and I kept hearing it in my spirit. And anytime I believe that God has something that He wants me to share with my platform, my sphere of influence, He'll start giving me scriptures. You know, he'll give me, it may sometimes just be one word, or he may give me a sentence, and then he started giving me scriptures, and he started showing me where to go and study, and go here and read this and read that, and he begins to pull it together like a puzzle, and that's how I'm certain when he wants me to share something with the audience. And a lot of times he'd be wanting me to share, and he'll give me the scripture and stuff, and I still don't know why he wants me to share something or the direction that he's taking me in to share that thing, but I'm going to share it tonight, and I'm just going to trust God that he is leading and directing and guiding me. All I want to just do is be a willing vessel. Man, I tell you, I go through the week, and I go through different things, you know, what everybody goes through. It's called life. You know, we go through, he said, count it all joy. When we go through various trials and tribulations. And when I tell you this week has been one of those kind of weeks, you probably can hear it in my voice, but I'm pushing through, glory to God. I am pushing through. And I believe that when it's all said and done tonight, whatever the message he asked for is that we'll get the message, that it will bless many, you know, many who are listening in. Who knows, maybe somebody's going through something and they needed to hear this word. So I'm going to bring forth the word. Amen. So bear with me here. We're going to get into the word first. I want to lay the foundation as always, and then we'll just kind of build from that. I just wanted to see something really quick. You probably can hear me typing. I'm heavy in Luke tonight. I just want y'all to know I am heavy in Luke tonight. I mean, it's funny that everything that I'm talking about, it really goes back to back in Luke. And I have everything down. It's just one more thing that I really wanted to get and put this in here, because we want to understand the Bible is the prophetic word of God. And if you read the Bible and you study the Bible, everything we're going through, this should not be a surprise to us. What's going on in the world, it should not be a surprise to us. We should know. We should be prepared. We should, you know, when things happen, it should not be a shock, because God had already forewarned us in his word. He already prepared us. I'm guilty. So when I'm talking tonight, I'm talking to Coach D. I'm not exempt. Because when stuff happened in my life that I perceive to not be cool, it sparks me. It sparks me. And I'm learning, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to learn how to not allow situations, circumstances, trials and tribulations to get a response from me. I don't want to respond to it no more. Why? Because it is what it is. I don't want to respond to it no more. I don't want it to get to my emotions. I don't want my soul, because that's what it is. It's our soul. And I don't want my soul to respond to life in that manner. I want my spirit to respond. I want, when things happen, my spirit just begins to worship God and praise God and thank God, and always see what could have been. You know what I'm saying? And I don't do that. I'm guilty. Because when things happen, I see what happened. But then I don't see that it could have been this or it could have been that. So be grateful. And I just want to learn how to be grateful. Is anyone with me? I want to see some virtual hallelujahs or raise your hands if you're with me. I just want to be able to not allow my soul to respond to everything that happens. I want my spirit to respond. And I'm going to share a story. I'm going to be transparent on tonight because you're kind of, so this week has been rough. I've been just in and out of meetings and different things. And then the other night I get a call from my youngest son and he calls and says, Mom, I got bad news. And anytime, if you're a parent, anytime your child calls you and says, Mom, I got bad news, you're bracing yourself because you always, I don't know why we do that, but we always think the worst. Oh, Lord, what can happen? So he called me and said something's wrong. Initially, I thought he had said something was wrong with his tire when he walked away, you know, walked out of work. But the end result was when he opened his door, his steering column was tore up. The windows were busted out in his car. They just tore the car up. They could have left with it because they had tore everything apart. That all they had to do was fix something in where they tore the ignition, and they could have left. They could have stole the car. I don't know if that would have been good or not so good, but they could have stole the car. But evidently something spooked them. They didn't steal the car. They just tore it up really bad, and they left. So needless to say, you know, as a parent, my initial response was anger. Let's keep it real. My initial response was anger. There's another side of Coach D that's dead. And anytime stuff like this come up, that other side comes to life. And everybody who knows me personally knows they call that side Niecy, and she comes to life. She's the protector of her family. She's the one that's you're not gonna do nothing to my family. That's her. And at the sign of adversity, she wants to rear up. You know, she rears up. She's the dragon, so to say. She rears up. She wants to protect her family. She wants to make right wrong, make what's wrong right, all of that. So I have to battle also with her because Holy D, you know, a new creature in Christ Jesus is saying, no, we don't want to do that. But, you know, we want to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not into our own understanding and all our ways, acknowledge him that he will direct our path. And so I'm in a battle warfare between these two entities. And she was winning. Woo, she was winning. She was winning. She was angry. I'm going to go hunt these people down and vengeance. You know, I'm going to get them and, you know, an eye for an eye, a two for two. Glory, yes, but glory to God, glory to God. You know, his grace is sufficient. When we say that, we got to really understand it. So anyway, end result was I ended up going up to my son's job and driving his beat-up car home. You know, I had to hold the ignition to be able to keep the car running and to drive. And today we got it in the shop, and it would be about probably 12 days to get it fixed. So keep us in prayer for God's favor that don't take a long time. When I called the dealership initially because I was going to take the car to the dealership and have them fix it, she said they're getting anywhere from 3 to 5 cars a week coming in, Kia Soul. We found out that there is a TikTok challenge. And in this TikTok challenge, they found out that this particular car could be started with a USB drive. So these people are going around in this challenge to steal these cars. And they're tearing them up, oftentimes not stealing them, but tearing them up. We're talking anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 in damage that they're tearing them up because of a TikTok video. Now, this just goes to show that we are way too consumed with social media. We are way too consumed. Our kids are way too consumed with it. Parents are not talking to their kids. Or somewhere along the line, parents have lost their influence to their children. So they're not talking to them. See, but the problem with that is that one of these kids are going to go do one of these challenges. You might even see challenges where they play these pranks. You got kids that play pranks on people unknowingly. These people don't know it, and then they're doing this, and these people getting angry, and then they say it's just a prank. Stop playing. Talk to your children. Be very adamant with them. Be very transparent with them. See, because I see parents that's on TikTok and stuff doing dance moves with their kids and twerking with their kids and doing skits with their kids that, to me, is not respectful. You got your 6-year-old on there doing stuff. You think it's cute right now, but guess what? It's not cute. And what's going to happen is you're doing this with your kid, and it may be all fun and games, but your kid may take it further, and they don't know when to stop, like going in and tearing up somebody's car. So you're going to get an angry owner that maybe don't know Jesus, or maybe they know Jesus, but in that moment, they forget they know him. And they're going to go in there, and they're going to tear somebody's car, and an angry owner is going to blow their brains out. I know this sounds really rash, but I can't sugarcoat it. An angry owner is going to blow your kid's brains out, and then you'll be the parent that's on the news saying they were such a good kid. And they probably were. So I'm saying talk to your children. This social media thing is destroying a generation. We got a generation of kids, and I heard a pastor say the other day, we got a generation of kids, particularly the young men, that all they do is video games and social media. They have no desire to be with a woman. They have no desire to find a woman. They have no desire to be in a relationship. They have no desire to be a husband. They have no desire to have a wife because they've gotten content. And I'm not even talking about because they chose a different sexuality. I'm talking about healthy young boys, but they don't have no desire. Why? Because they're sitting on social media. Their friends are virtual. Everything for them is a fantasy. Everything they need to do, porn, everything that they need is right there at button, at the switch. And most of the times, especially if they're young adults, we as parents a lot of times we'll back off and we don't ask questions. They go in their room, they close their door, that's it. We'll see them when they come out. They may sit down at the family dinner table. You may have a conversation with them. You may not. Start being nosy again, parents. I don't care if they are grown. If they're living in your home, start being nosy. Ask questions. How you doing? How you feel about life? How you feel about yourself? Are you okay? You know, do you desire to be married? Do you desire to, you know, what's your 5-year goal? What's your 2-year goal? I do that with my son. And I'm not trying to be a perfect parent. I mean, that saying that my kids are perfect. But I do that with my sons, especially my youngest one. And every time I get ready to talk to him, the first thing he do is I can see he get attitude. And normally, attitude will cause most of us to shut back. We don't want to deal with no. I don't want to deal with no attitudes. I'm not gonna talk to him. But no, I don't care that he get an attitude because I'm gonna keep talking to you. I'm gonna keep asking questions. I tell myself, I see you got an attitude, but that's okay. Gonna have an attitude, but guess what? I love you, and I'm gonna ask these questions because I need to know that you're okay. See, I need to know that you ain't thinking about going to do a TikTok challenge that's gonna cost you your life. Or call somebody else their life because it'll be one time and it's a oops and you end up in prison for the rest of your life or one time and oops and somebody kill you or you kill somebody. So I need to make sure that we're on the same page. I need to make sure that you understand everything, every decision you make has consequences. This ain't even my message tonight, but evidently I need to share it. And I'm not sharing it in a place of anger, you know, because I'm not angry about what has happened anymore. I was angry when it happened, but it really made me start thinking, my God, my God, my God, we got to do better. We got to do better. you know, we got to discourage this stuff. We got social media, but now we got a whole generation of kids that are socially awkward. They're social media, but they're not even social in real life. They have no friends. They don't hang out and do the things that they're, you know, that we were doing in our age. They're socially awkward. They don't even want to socialize. So I'm saying that was part of my week. That was just a small fraction of all the other stuff. But anyway, we're going to get back to the message at hand. And so the message at hand on tonight is only one blood matters. So as I was saying, there was a saying that we used to say back in the day, some people still say it, is that blood is thicker than mud. And basically what that means is that this is your blood, that's it. You are God form, that you about them, that's it, that's all. We all know that. We love our children. We love our parents. We love our siblings. Many of us, probably like me, it ain't too much that we won't do for those who we really, you know, that's really close to us, like our immediate family, our siblings, our children, you know, our spouses, our parents, you know, that we will. And I'm one of those people. I mean, I get very angry when it comes to my family and somebody trying to hurt my family or somebody doing my family wrong. That's an area for me that I'm challenged with. And so tonight, today and through the week, this came to me, and I was thinking, okay, Lord, what you want me to do with this? Because I heard it drop in my spirit. Only one blood matters. So let's start at Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 10. I'm going to lay the foundation so we can build on it. And so we'll begin to understand something. I know God wants us to know this on tonight. I know God wants us to know this. So Ephesians 1, 3 and 10 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, and the one he loves. And in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Again, that was Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. Father God, we thank you for your word that will go forth on tonight. Father, I thank you for every scripture that is the breath of God that has been inspired by your Holy Spirit, Father, that you have given us one tonight that will guide us through tonight's message. Father God, we thank you that only one blood matters, and that's the blood of Jesus. Father God, we thank you that blood has no gender. Father God, we thank you that blood has no culture. It doesn't have a race. You know, it's not specified. It's not prejudice, Father God. Father God, we thank you that you didn't just come for me, but you came for us all, no matter race, creed. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this word, Lord, and we pray that you'll be with us on tonight. You are welcome in this studio, Father God, so we just ask that you'll have your way, Father. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside. Amen and hallelujah. So we just learned in Ephesians that, that we, from the foundation, we were predestined, that we were adopted, and that we were adopted to the sonship through Jesus Christ. And so I think that's a good place to start about adoption, because we see a lot in this earth, you know, probably back in the, you know, before Christ, B.C., or AD, they probably didn't have a lot of extended family, but guess what? there was some extension. And I thought about it because, you know, nowadays you see a lot of step-parents or, well, we say now that people say bonus parents. You see a lot of extended families. You see a lot of adoptions, you know, where people are adopting people or, you know, adopting babies, adopting children, and then those children become their children. And I remember having a conversation with my mentor and him asking me some questions in reference to my extended family, and never looked at it like that, you know, because I probably was showing, you know, not intentionally, but showing favoritism as it pertains to my biological versus my non-biological, and yet that, you know, and yet this was still my child. And so I had to learn a lesson with that, is that when God, and then what helped me learn it, even though my mentor, you know, shared with me, was be the same thing, like with your bonus dad or your bonus mom. They've had to accept you. There's no difference between their biological and their non-biologicals. And so I got that, but where it really set with me is when I started thinking about our adoption in Christ, you know, that God wanted us to be a part of his family. And he knew this. He had predestined. He had chosen us to be a part of his family. And once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are now adopted. We are grafted into the body of Christ. So we're now part. We're heirs. We're joint heirs. It's, you know, there's no, well, I'm going to do this for Jesus, but I ain't going to do this for you. When we accepted it, when we became adopted, we are now everything that all the promises that Jesus got, we're getting. All the suffering that Jesus got, we're getting. So everything that Jesus got, everything that was expected from Jesus, everything that Jesus was doing, guess what? God is expecting from us. Ooh, Coach D, that's some deep stuff. Are you sure you said what you're saying? You know, are you sure that's the case? Well, let's see. Is that really the case? Is that really what we're saying? But it is. It is what God is saying to us. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and go over to Galatians chapter 3 and 25. I'm going to be bouncing around. Jot your scriptures down so that you could go back and read them for yourself. Take the time to fully understand them. So Galatians 3:25-29 says, now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. Now, one thing I want to just stop right here, Galatians 3, that's 28. I'm going to read that again, and then I'm going to share something that was dropped in my spirit. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. Now, I want to elaborate on that because I know that this is one of the scriptures that's taken out of context. And a lot of people, especially the LGBTQ, STD, whatever you, community, forgive me, I might be getting all my letters mixed up, but they utilize this and it's out of context, you know, so they utilize it to say, well, you know, we're all one in Christ and it's not Jew, you know, it's not Jew nor Gentile, it's not slave or free, it's not male or female, so it don't matter, we're all just one. Well, what this is saying is that when it says nor is there male or female, I believe what's dropping in my spirit is what that means is that he doesn't choose women, you know, he don't have favorites. Like, he don't favor men over women or women over men or adults over children. There's no favorite. We're all one in Christ. That has nothing to do with your sexuality. It has to do with God saying, I don't favor. You're a man, you're a woman. That's what I created. And I don't favor. I'm not going to favor him because he's a man or favor her because she's a woman. That's simply what that means. If anyone has any correction to that, that's fine. Maybe I'll open the floor later on. But I believe that's what that statement sitting in my spirit is, that is exactly what that means, because the enemy has a way of coming in and twisting and turning things to make it fit to what he wants it to be. And God's word is God's word, and God's word is true, you know. So that was in Galatians. So we hear that, you know, no matter what, who we are, no matter, you know, we're the Gentiles, we, you know, slave or free, male or female, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Once we accepted him and we're adopted into the family, we're all one. We're part of the family. We're part of the same promises that was promised to Abraham. It's the same promises that are promised to us. Amen. And so we need to know that we're adopted. And there's no separation. You know, God, the great thing about Yahweh is that he doesn't have to deal with the stuff that we have to deal with. We have this soul and we have this flesh. And so a lot of times we have to deal with the emotions and all that, you know, those kind of things. And I know we're created in his image, but I don't believe he knows how to, you know, he created us. He knows the things. He knows the things we're going to go through. He knows all that, but he doesn't have to go through it. So when he adopts us, when he say it's finished, when he put a period on the end of it, that's that. We as humans don't oftentimes know how to do that. So we may show favoritism. You know, we may show more favor in our biological kids versus non-biological. Or we might, you know, we may do certain things. Hopefully many of us have grown and we're not. But there's, you know, you see it. I see an adopted parent who adopted children from since they were babies. They raised them. They loved on them. And then when they get older and they're bad actors, the parents don't want them no more. You know, it's like, ooh, where did I die? You know, thank God he's not like that with us. Thank God he don't look at us in our sin, you know, and say, ooh, I don't want that one no more. I hate that I adopted them. No, he covers us. He loves us. And I often tell people, and if you've heard it or you've been listening to my show for any amount of time, you know that we define love as contending for another's highest good in every situation until it becomes a manifestation. So that's the kind of love, that's the agape love that God got for us. He don't care. Once we receive him and we accept him and we acknowledge his son, then guess what? We're part of his family, and he loves us even when we acting out, even when we don't know how to control our emotions, even when we make bad choices, even when we don't say the right things. He loves us. And so one of the things that even as I was, he was leading me in this direction, I see a lot going on. We see a lot going on in the world. We see a lot of demonic activities taking place. And what I see is a lot of Christians, a lot of believers, especially because there's so many platforms where we could see so much now. I see a lot of believers just throwing people out there, oh, you know, this person's the devil and this person's demonic and, oh, see these people. And when I see it, I'd be like, ooh, yeah, you know, ooh, yeah. But then I got to thinking, as I was studying for here, what God began to share with me, we want to be careful. So we could get caught up because we just want to know enough. And as humans, we just like, what is right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And I do. I love my Father. I love my Father. So when I see things that just, what I feel like is totally out of line, it's hard not to be offended when you're thinking, I love God, and God has been so good to me. He's been amazing. His grace has been sufficient. Man, he could have taken me out of here years ago, but I'm breathing. I have all my faculties. My children have all their faculties. My grandchildren have all their faculties. I still got two sets of parents that's living, you know. And when I think about the goodness of the Lord, I'm thankful. And so when I see somebody that's just being foolish or, you know, these shenanigans with people, you know, with us tattooing upside down crosses on their forehead and on their tongue, and they just doing so much. And I believe the majority of it is doing it out of ignorance. They don't even realize what they're doing. They don't even realize that they're setting themselves up for eternal damnation. They don't even realize it. And guess what? God don't need no Christian sitting up talking about what everybody ain't doing right. God don't need no Christian sitting up judging. He don't need no Christians doing all this stuff. What he needs the Christians to do is be on their knees praying. He needs the Christians to be interceding, praying for the salvation and the soul of these lost people. That's what he needs. And he says it in Luke 6, 35 and 42, to love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured unto your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. And if the message don't, you know, there's two things I believe that God wanted us to get on tonight. The first message is he wants us to get is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we'll have eternal life, period. Period. We have adopted. We have been adopted unto him, predestined from the foundation of the earth. Though we would like to take the pride to think that we made the decision to choose God, God chose us from the beginning of the earth. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. With the same grace and the same mercy that God has given us, he wants us to give the same grace and the same mercy to those who don't know him. Or to those who maybe know him and maybe they got too far out and they don't know. And that doesn't mean you have to accept sin. Doesn't mean that you got to approve somebody's behavior that's in contrary to the word of God. That's not what that means. That doesn't mean you got to love they met. That's not what that means. What it simply means is have compassion and extend grace and mercy. In other words, you see your sister, she's falling, and instead of saying, oh, she's going to hell, look at her. She's half naked. She's going to hell. Instead of doing that, what it's saying is, Lord, I lift her up before you. Father, send mature Christian laborers into her pathway, Father, that she may see the light. Whatever shells is on her eyes, Father God, I pray that those shells may be removed, because it may be your prayer. It may be my prayer. That may be the one prayer that person is needed. It may just be that one prayer. They may be one prayer away from salvation, from turning themselves around. Look at me. Look at you. We were no different. We might have not been video vixens. We might have not walked around with a piercing in our nose with horns. You know, we may have not did that, but we were still doing what we was doing, which was evil in the sight of God. We was wretched. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wrench like me. So we were no different when God found us or somebody kept praying for us to change our heart. I can't tell you how many times as a young girl, a teenager, and a young adult that I would tell God, Lord, I'll get saved next weekend, but this weekend I have a party. Oh, I'll get saved next weekend because this weekend I got this. I've said that. I don't know about none of y'all, but I know before I came into the true revelation of Christ, I remember saying I was convicted. I was convicted when I didn't even know. I was convicted when I didn't even know, and I was bargaining with God, ignorant. Thank God that he has enough grace for my ignorance, because he could have been offended. I'm giving you a gift, and you throwing it in my face? You would get it when you get it? No. But thank God for his grace that he was willing, that he was patient, and that he was loving, and that he was contending for my highest good, that he wasn't willing that I should perish. And I was still, and thank God that I was still being convicted. Thank God that I didn't feel good about decisions and choices I was making. I didn't feel good about things I was doing that was out of his order. I was still being convicted. And guess what? When we see people that's going through, we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what conversations they're having with God. We don't know what their struggle is. All we do is see somebody going through something, and the first thing we want to do is judge. We do. The first thing we want to do is, and they're supposed to be a Christian. And Luke 6:35-42 is telling us to love our enemies. But we know that. Everybody know that. We got that on speed dial, to love our enemies. We know that's what the word says. But this goes even more, because it's telling us that we, you know, it's telling us to be merciful. It's telling us to be merciful. It's telling us to be kind to even those that are ungrateful and wicked. You know, I can think of a bunch of wicked people right now. But as children, as us being children of the Most High, we're adopted into the family. And thank God, again, that we had somebody was praying for us and you know, praying without ceasing, to pray for us. Every time they seen us going through something, every time they seen us acting ugly, every time they seen us doing whatever the thing they thought we was doing that was out of order as it pertained to the word of God, somebody was praying us through. Somebody was, you know, praying us through. Because if everybody's judging us, if everybody's condemning us, then who's going to help us get to where we need to be? And where do we need to be? In the revelation of Christ. We need to know who Christ is. We need to know what he's offering. He's offering the gift of salvation. He's offering eternal life. And we can be turned around. I was turned around. Many of you were turned around. You know, we're seeing some celebrities right now that's turned around. And I know somebody's going to not agree with me on this. I don't care. I'm going to say what I feel in my heart. And Kanye, perfect example. Everybody wants to damn him. Everybody wants to damn him. You know, he's crazy. He's weird. He ain't right. He ain't God. He's demonic. Blah, 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 blah. How about this was a young man that was close to his mother, probably the only parental relationship he had in his life. He was probably his anything he probably know about God, maybe he knew that through his mama. She was his, you know, his strength. And she died. And it drove him crazy. How about that? How about maybe he not a devil worshiper. Maybe he's not crazy. Maybe he's brokenhearted. Maybe he's a man who knows God, who has a desire to serve God, who wants to be in alignment with God. Maybe he sees, because you know what? People who really love God, to be honest with you, them are some of the weirdest people in the world. We could be some of the weirdest people in the world to the rest of the world, because why? We don't look like the rest of the world. So we could look strange. My mentor, they strange. They what the world calls funny style. They funny style. They don't associate with nobody. They don't hang out with the family. They don't do, you know, love their family, but they don't do the family get-togethers and stuff. And I remember growing up, the mentor, they're like, ooh, they funny style. The Word of God said we're supposed to be peculiar people. And we are going to look funny style because we're not with the status quo. We shouldn't be with the status quo. Yes, we should be loving on people. Yes, we should be ministering the word for people. Yes, we should be standing with people in prayer. Yes, we should not be judging them and condemning them, but we should be standing and praying with them. We should be worried about their souls. At the end of the day, that's what we should be worried about, nothing else. We should be worried about their souls. Yeah, now we love them. Yeah, we want to make sure that they eat it. We want to make sure that they have a shelter, their clothing. Yes, we want to make sure that the basic needs are met. But the priority is their soul. Will they see eternal life? Will they see Jesus? Have they accepted the gift of salvation? You know, do they know how to pray? Do they know that the promises of God? Do they know that God said that when you belong to me, I'm going to meet all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Do they know that? That's what we need to be worried about. And we can still be peculiar. We don't have to be with the in crowd. We don't have to do just because everybody else is doing. Amen? We don't. We don't have to do just because everybody else is doing. And I was telling you guys that Luke is really doing some things. Another Luke, I'm going to take us, and like I said, this is not going to be a long show, but Luke 12:53. You know, when I was, you know, studying this, and we're talking about the blood, and this show is really about showing us what is it for us to be believers? What is it? What is God expecting out of us? Luke 8, let me start with Luke 8. Luke 8, 19 and 21. So we did Luke 6 and 35. I did Luke 6 and 35. I read, let's go to Luke 8, 19 and 21, and let's go and pull this all together. We talked about our adoption. You know, we talked about we've been grafted into the body of Christ. We are now part of the family. We are part of the body. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, right? So we know that because of what Christ did, the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary for us, that it gave us a right to be adopted into the family, right? So now, when I was talking about peculiar and funny style, you know, how people say, oh, you know, people could be funny style, you know, oh, they kind of stand off, and you know, oh, they don't hang like they used to hang with, or different things like that. Luke 8, 19 and 21 addresses that. Now, this is not Coach D addressing this. This is Luke. This is the inspired word of God. This is Luke 8, 19 to 21. And it says, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brother are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied. Now this is his reply. And this would probably be in the red letters. You know, we know we got Bibles as red letters, and that red letters lets you know that it's Jesus speaking. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. There's only one blood that matters, and that's the blood of Christ. And when you become adopted into that family, those brothers and sisters in Christ are your brothers and sisters. That becomes your family. That is now your extended family. That's your family. And when God is calling you to do something, when God is placing something on your heart, when God is convicting you, when God is requiring you to be obedient in various areas, God ain't trying to hear about, well, I can't do this because I got to take care of my daddy. I can't do this because I got to take care of my siblings. I can't do this because he's not really trying to hear that. Because he even told, and I believe it was Peter and his brother was fishing when Christ first was gathering his disciples. He had not had all of them, and he was going through and gathering them. And I think they were fishing, and he basically told, hey, come go with me, and I'll make you fisher of men. And I think they had a bunch of excuses. I'm paraphrasing. But they were like, well, we got to go back home and make sure our dad is okay. And once we make sure he's okay and take care of, you know, the family business and stuff like that, then we can go with you. And he said, no. You need to come now or you don't need to come at all. Because if that's more important to you than what I'm calling you to do, then you need to go be do that because you're not even worthy to follow me. Ooh. That sounds cold blooded, right? But that's what it was. You're not even so he said if I could tell you, yeah, my mom and my brothers are standing out there. They want to see me. They want to get in here. In other words, they want me to stop what God has assigned me to do in this moment. They want me to stop doing what I'm doing, what God called me to do. My Father in heaven, he got me doing this, and they want me to stop what I'm doing to cater to now their emotions. He's like, nah, my brothers and sisters, my mother and brothers is all these. Those who what? Hear and obey. Hear and obey. And here it says, hear God's words and put it into practice. Same thing. Hear and obey. So that's what he's telling us. Is that we are adopted. We are now in the family. We are heirs. We are joint heirs with Christ. The same promises to Abraham, the same promises to Jesus is the same promises to us. The promise of salvation, the promise of eternal life. And he's saying we are now, because we're now in this new family, we got all these brothers and sisters that's in this family as well. And yes, in the natural, we may have siblings, we may have family members who are not believers. And our job for them, not just them, but anybody, whether it's a blood, biological family member, or if it's just a neighbor, our job is, if they're not saved, our job is to keep them lifted in prayer. Our job is to intercede on their behalf. You know, our job is to petition the throne of grace for them so that they could have the same opportunity that we have. We're not to judge them. We're not to condemn them. We're not to criticize them, because guess what? We're not perfect. And a lot of times we as believers, yeah, we understand that we have a gift. We understand that we're saved by grace through faith. We know that. We understand. We know, oh, when I believe here, I'm going to heaven. But guess what? In between now and the time you go to heaven, still got to live this life. You still got to deal with this flesh. You still got to deal with this soul. the emotions of it. You still got to walk. You still got to breathe. You still going to get tripped up on stuff. You still ain't going to always get it right. You still. There's still that dash. And the end of that dash haven't came yet. The beginning, and there, you're still in the dash. And while you're still in the dash, be grateful. And don't be like the Pharisees. Don't think that you've arrived. Don't think that that it can't happen to you. Don't think that you have no fault, because then you get puffed up in pride. And God says in His Word that there's always a fall. Pride comes with that. So we have to be humble. We got to be humble, and our hearts should really be geared towards. Our hearts should be in a place of like I said, compassion. We should be hurting. When we look around the world right now and everything that's going on, it should hurt us. What you mean, Coach D? It should hurt us, because it should provoke us to want to pray. It should provoke us to want to plead to God, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And I know we don't always get it right. But those are the things, and I believe that that's the message tonight, that you are adopted in the family, if you are born-again believer, that you have the same promises, that your family is the family of Christ. That's your new family. That's your brothers and that's your sisters. And if God is telling you to do something, then you need to do it, and there should be nothing that's stopping you from doing it. And the people that you're entertaining, the people that's in your life, those should be people that's provoking you to purpose. That should be people that's holding you, you know, that's pushing you and holding you accountable. If they see that, you know, maybe they see that you're not where you're supposed to be, you know. And I know sometimes that don't feel good. Sometimes we don't want nobody telling us nothing. We don't want somebody, you know, getting in our business. You know, sometimes we just don't get it. But we're going to be able to find ways. And we got to be careful, even in that. Always be prayerful. Even if you see your sister in Christ or your brother in Christ doing something that you feel like is not appropriate, maybe before you just go and say something, maybe you should pray. Lord, how do you want me to be able to minister to them? Lord, what should I say? Father God, how you want me to handle this? God, Lord, in those situations, He normally will share with us. He might just take you to a scripture. So maybe it's not nothing that you need to say at all. You know, maybe you just need to give them a scripture and let the scripture, the word of God, minister to them. Let the word of God show them the errors of their ways. Let the word of God minister, because the word of God is the truth, and the word of God has conviction power. The word of God is productive. It's life. It has conviction power. When people read the word of God, I'm talking about people who have a desire, know God, people who have a desire to serve God, people who have a desire to be obedient, even when they get off, the word is what convicts and realign them back vertically. And so God is saying, children, that He's not going to treat anyone different. If you His child, you His child. And we as parents, we could have 5 kids and none of them are the same. They all got different personalities. They all got different idiosyncrasies. We know we have to deal with each one of them uniquely different. You know, most parents know I can't do for Sally what I did for Joe. I can't do for Joe what I did for John. Everybody I have to deal with accordingly. And God is the same way with us. We don't know what people are struggling in, and that don't make them not saved. That makes them, they're struggling. We don't know how much they cry before God. We don't know what they're pleading God with to help them be delivered from, to be set free from. We don't know that. We really don't. And so when we don't know, instead of just falsely accusing and judging and all that, just pray. You know, just pray for them. Lift them up before the Lord. Ask God to show you. You know, maybe it is somebody that's just a lost cause. I don't know, you know, but ask God to show you, Father God, how do you want me to handle this? Show me. How do I do this? How do I deal with this? And I'm not saying, again, hear me. This is about love. But don't get love confused, because we got this idea of what we know is love as human. Love for us is that thing that makes you feel good. You know, it's got a little butterfly. It's, you know, it's that, oh, I feel like I'm loved. You know, it's a feeling. It's, you know, and God's kind of love is not a feeling. It's a commitment. It's a command. You know, it's what you do even when it don't feel good. But the human kind of love, we only want to love because it makes us feel good. If I don't feel good, then it ain't love. And that's not God. That's not God. So, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word. Father God, we thank you that you have reconfirmed with us that we are adopted. We are joint heirs, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we are part of your family, Father, that we've been engrafted, Lord, and that we belong to you, Father. Father God, we know that our sisters and brothers are those who belong to you, but they practice, that they practice what you're telling them, Father, that they hear and they obey. So, Father God, we thank you that our brothers and sisters are those who hear and obey, Father. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you're calling us to love our enemies. Father God, you're calling us to be a light in dark places. You're calling us, Father God, to pray for those who are hurting, for those who are lost, Father God. Father God, that we will intercede on their behalf, Father God, petitioning your throne of grace, Father, that you will have mercy on them, Lord, that they will come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, Father, and that they will repent, that they will accept the gift of salvation. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your grace that's been sufficient in our own lives, and we thank you for your mercies, Lord, that are new each day. Father God, we thank you that there is nothing that we could do. There is no work that we could do that will work our ways into heaven. But, Father God, that the only way to the Father is through the Son, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we've accepted the Son, Father. So, Lord, we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. I pray for each person on this phone on tonight, Lord. Father God, that you would just minister to their hearts and their minds. Lord, if they're struggling with the spirit of with the judgmental spirit, Father God, that you would just help them in that area, Lord. Help us all in that area. Father God, if we're struggling because we're not feeling that we have a sense of belonging, Father God. Father God, I just pray that you will just minister to us, to let us know that you love us, that we are your children, Father. And Father God, that we've accepted the gift, Father, and that we are yours. We belong to you. So, Father, we thank you right now. So, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And, Lord, we just say thank you, Abba, Father. We thank you. Not for everything that's going on in the world, but, Father God, that you pulled us out of the world and you're preparing us for these times, Father, that you are preparing us for these times. You know, even though we know that your word is sharing with us, Lord, you warned us, you pre-warned us that there would be times like this. According to Luke chapter 12 and 53, Lord, you told us that there will be division, that there will be fathers against sons and sons against fathers and mothers against daughters and daughters against mothers and mother-in-laws against daughter-in-laws and daughter-in-laws against mother-in-laws, Father God. You've told us, Lord, that these times were coming. And so, Father God, not for us to be dismayed, not for us to be in fear, Father God, but, Father God, that we know that these are the times. And, Father God, that we could be encouraged, Father, and that we could be at peace knowing that if these, and surely these are the times, Lord, that means that you'll be coming back soon, Father. Father God, I pray right now that we know that you coming back is good for us, Lord, that we won't have a spirit of fear, Father God, that we won't have a spirit of fear, but that we know who we are and whose we are, Father God, and that we belong to you. So, Father God, the good thing about us being in these times, Father, no matter how bad they look, is that we know who wins the war. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that something was said tonight that just touched your heart. If nothing else, that it provoked you to thought, that maybe it's giving you something to think about. You know, that's something that on your own time that you just may want to just sit and meditate in the Word of God and just think on these things. Think on things you heard tonight. Think on how you could be better. You know, think on how can you help maybe your loved ones that you don't know, that you may wonder, you might question, you're not sure of their salvation. You know, ask the Lord, how can you help? How can you be sure? What is it that you could say that they could receive where it doesn't come across as condemning, or that it doesn't come across as, you know, you've been holier than them or anything like that? But just ask the Lord, Lord, can you give me unique ways to share the gospel that those who hear it will be open to hearing it and open to receiving it? Again, we came from tonight, just if you want to jot it down for your own personal study, we came from tonight, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, that tells us about our adoption. We also dealt with Galatians chapter 3, 25 through 29, which tells us that it doesn't matter who we are, because right now the enemy is trying to make salvation. He's trying to make our belief in God about race and culture, and it's not about that, you know, and we see that a lot. I talked about that last week, you know, because this is not about race, you know. So Galatians 3, 25 and 29 talks to us about that. Then we went from Luke 8, 19 through 21, which tells us about, you know, about, you know, whoever's in the faith is our family. And then also Luke 6, 35 through 42 is telling us about not being so judgmental, not, you know, not condemning people, not being hypocritical and judging other people, because whatever we judge, that's the same measure we're going to be judged with. And so it was teaching us that in Luke 6, 35 and 42. So, and then the last one, Luke 12, 53 through 55, is talking about, you know, in the end days where fathers would be against sons and sons against fathers. We're seeing that, you know, that family structure as we know it here on earth, which, guess what? That family structure won't be the same in heaven. You miss your mother. People, you know, have had parents that have gone on to glory, and, you know, we miss them, and you think, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can see my mom. And guess what? Your mom won't know you, and you won't know your mom. It won't be the knowing like we know here of the title. We won't know that. We might recognize the spirit. There may be, you know, a sense of a familiar spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, but we won't know that. And so we're seeing he's already starting to tear that. It's already been tear since Cain and Abel, you know, but we're starting to see more tear. We're starting to see that family structure tear. And it is really becoming a size. It's you know, people choosing sides. You know, it ain't but two sides. You either for God or you against. He said that in his word. You know, the lovers of the world, if you love the world, then you're an enemy. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy with God. So people, we're in that time. People, the sides are being chosen. You either for God or you're against God. There's no gray. So anyway, I want to thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. We will be back on next Thursday. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and we will see you next week. Good night.
someday.